Here we are live at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Welcome into the Players Show. Our guest this week, former Saints tackle, Zach Strief, voice of the Saints currently. Number 64 reporting is eligible. And look, full disclosure, Zach, first off, thanks for being here. But full disclosure, you can talk about this. In a run like this that the Saints are currently on, I basically got told by several players, hey, look, they don't want to deviate from their schedule, their plan. And on Thursday nights, they have position meetings, our position dinners that they don't want to break from because they feel like that routine is also a big part of their winning success.
Yeah, and one of the things that happens as a player is as you get further into a season like this, you have the success, the pulls increase. So there's more people that want tickets. There's more people that want you to come and do something. There's more people that want you to do an appearance. And Coach Payton is no different in that. And so he's very quick to kind of point out to the guys, stop saying yes. You know, it's okay to say no. Don't be out. Don't be doing stuff. You know, worry about football, and you can deal with the rest of that stuff at the end of the year. And, you know, for someone like you, that makes things really difficult, you know. Yeah. And for
– But he didn't have to worry about me.
Right. And for the players, you know, it's probably good. You know, it's probably the right thing to be doing. So here I am. I'm it's now the former player show on – on Thursday nights at Hooters.
Come on out, get an autograph from Zach Strief, number 64, reporting eligible for the next hour. We'll be different a little bit. We're still going to tell Zach's story. Usually, Zach, the way we approach this is we, you know, offer the players an opportunity to tell their story, their journey to the NFL. I think yours is pretty well chronicled around these parts.
I would agree.
I think a lot of people know that story, but I really kind of want to talk to you about your first year now as the play-by-play voice of the Saints. How do you feel like the transition's been? It's not an easy task to do to put down a helmet and pick up a microphone.
No, I would not. I would not call it easy. I think it's a challenge for sure. Being in a play-by-play role is it's like speaking a new language all of a sudden, and you know, being asked to speak it and not necessarily being completely fluent in it. And so I knew that going in. I knew it was going to be a big challenge. I'll get in deep into it as you'd like to. But yeah, it's a big challenge. It's also been more fun than I ever could have imagined. Me and Deuce are having a great time. We really, for all of the negativity that we spit at each other during the course of a game, I think we're both really enjoying it. And listen, I hope people are enjoying it. There's every game when I finish, I immediately remember the 15 times that I stumbled on myself or I said something incorrectly, and you know, I spend all week frustrated by those moments. And yet, you know, when it's all over, it's, you know, the big plays that people hear, it's those big moments that are special. And I think to this point, a lot of those big moments have been good things that I haven't been like you know, decimated by when I listen
right to
it, saying, oh man, it's awful. So that's good. And it's going to be a process, and I'll continue to grow and get better at it.
I love the yin and the yang between you and Deuce. You know, he's kind of the glass half empty kind of guy at times during a game. You're glass half full.
His is like mostly empty all the time. Yes. Listen, I think some of it is because he's so much more removed. You know, he's been away from it longer. And so as a player, you really live in that mindset of, hey, we still got a chance. You know, you live in that world, and that's your reality as a player is, hey, we can make this right. We can fix this.
Right.
We can, you know what I mean?
And you're still kind of looking at it from the optics of that helmet when you were wearing number 64.
Yeah, no doubt. I know it better as, you know, how should I be acting on the sideline? And, you know, the reality is when you're not a part of it, you don't have any say in it, and it's much easier to be negative in all those moments. It's easier to see a guy mess up and be like, oh, what are you doing? Whereas when you're a player, it's like, hey, I get it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's probably five plays ago I screwed up. So it's very different. And I think that's part of our personalities as well. I think it's just kind of us being how we would normally be. And hopefully that reality of the two of us being different, you know, plays out well.
Deuce showed me another talent that I could not believe last night, headed to the remote we did at the Boat Rivage Casino and Resort. And it was the ability to sleep sitting straight up while balancing a skull cap on top of his head. It did not move, did not fall one time.
What was he? Were you guys on the show?
No.
Shouldn't be sleeping on air.
No, this is on the ride there. This is on the ride there.
Well, I'll one-up that. The Saints have a trainer, Kevin Mangum. He'd be really upset if he heard me say this, but Mango sleeps at practice occasionally on a knee. Now, he claims that he's never done this before, but I think that I've caught him. And listen, I understand it. I'll give him a break. The trainers might be in the building more than the coaching staff. It's pretty incredible. Those guys are there at 5 in the morning, and you can roll in there and forget something and go back to the facility at 7:45, and Mango's still in the training room. It's amazing what those guys do and the time they put in. So I'll give him a break on that. But, yeah, he slept on a knee holding water bottles all the time.
Zach Streif here, our player guest on the Players Show. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 87870. Live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL. The voice of the Saints, former Saints tackle, number 64, Zach Streif here with us on the Players Show live at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Reporting is eligible. No, he's not come out of retirement. Just for the night.
Sure am not.
Zach, you got a pretty neat experience last week being able to obviously call an NFL game, but share that moment with your father. He was spotting for you up there in Cincinnati?
Yeah, so I grew up in Cincinnati, and I asked my dad the week before if he was interested in that. They were actually in town for the Rams game, and he kind of lit up. And what's really neat about it is I grew up in Cincinnati. We went to Bengals games. I went to the first game in Paul Brown Stadium. I grew up – we had season tickets to the Bengals. And so it was very cool to have him there to get to do the whole thing. Now, they weren't going to let us into the gate because his credentials had my name on them. They both had my name on them, which makes no sense to me still. He's my dad, right? Like, can we just, like, use some common sense here? Right. But you find organizations that don't find success do lots of stuff poorly, and the Cincinnati Bengals don't even do the front door very well at the stadium. So, but, yeah, we had a great time. He did all the spotting. And so for people that don't know, he identifies who makes the tackle. He always lets me know who the tailback is in the game so that I have an idea of who that is ahead of time. And, if there's an interception, he'll point out who that is and all that kind of stuff. So it was very cool, I think, for him. It was a little eye-opening. Anyone that's never been in that before, and Christian, you've sat down in that seat before, it's moving pretty quick, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And the first drive for him, I looked over at one point, and he had the same face that I imagine I had in the Jacksonville preseason game the first time that I saw that, happen at speed. And it's like, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of stuff to get in. And on the first break, I had to tell him, listen, it's okay. You're fine. Just, when you know. Let me know when you have the number. It's okay. And he kind of took a big, deep breath and said, okay. And he settled in, and he did just fine.
You brought up that Jacksonville game, and you and I have been friends for a while now. And I was obviously excited to listen to you that first one. But you could tell after that first play. I heard it. I was like, yeah, he's just now realizing, wow, this is happening fast.
Yeah, it does. It goes quick. And, with the first one, the thing I remember is, like, there's these moments in it that you can't prepare for. Hey, they're walking out for the coin toss. It's like, what am I supposed to talk about while they're walking out for the coin toss? Just, silly things that you don't think about until you're sitting in that seat. Once the game gets going, understanding where your eyes go. It's interesting. It reminded me a lot of playing. You have to have a system of where your eyes go to slow everything down. So, we have a statistician up there. He's giving me the yardage of the plays, how long it was. And so, it's like I watch the play. At some point, I need to glance to my right. I have to get that number. I need to come back to my left, or to my offensive chart if I wasn't sure who that was that caught it, especially in the preseason when it's very hard to memorize.
Yeah.
And then over to the defensive chart, the first play, you just are looking at everybody all at once, and it's a little bit it's tough. And it's similar as a player. People say the game slows down. That's a really common, like, hey, in my second year, the game is slowing down. All that is guys starting to learn, where do my eyes go? And so as an offensive lineman, you don't have to watch an entire defense to understand what's about to happen. You can watch a guy. You get tells out of that. Drew Brees doesn't have to watch 11 guys to understand. He's watching one safety on one side of the field that he knows the coverage. That guy will tell what this corner's doing. It slows down a lot all of a sudden, and it's very similar in the radio booth. So at least there's a little bit of experience with that, and the longer you do it, I'm sure – the more and more comfortable you get with that.
How's the group text going with your offensive linemen, some of your former teammates, when they hear you make a call or anything like that? Are you getting positive feedback? Are they giving you – I know they have a great sense of humor. Do they mess with you a little bit?
Yeah, well, there's two group texts. There's the offensive line group text. They kill me on a regular basis.
Give me an example.
I'll pull it up. We'll bring it up in one of these segments. The group tech. Now, I actually thought they would be somewhat. They wanted me to come in, and they wanted to watch tape from the Jacksonville game with the call laid over it.
Okay,
which is impossible to do. But that's what they wanted. And actually, Coach Roschar told me we're going to play the radio and we're going to grade your call in the game. Right now, they didn't do that. It was training camp, but I think they wanted to for real. There's the other group text is the former player text, okay. And that's the text with Reggie Bush and Roman Harper and Fujita and Shanley and Bobby McCray, Vilma. There's about 12 of us. That group's actually been surprisingly positive, which is mind-blowing because it's the most negative JV group chat you've ever seen in your whole life.
And Fujita on that chat?
They're incredibly positive, which is – I don't understand that. I'm not totally sure why. Because, listen, Reggie's going to be on after the Thursday night football game tonight. We kill him every week for what he wears or what he says. So I don't know why they've been positive, but they have been. So
that's certainly encouraging, I'm sure. But, I want to – when you get time, I want to know maybe one example of what your former offensive lineman might have told you. And I'm sure Teron Armstead's probably leading the charge on that one. I know you're very close with him.
You know what? Teron is – he's almost like – he's like reverential towards me. I'm like his uncle, where he's like very respectful of me. Max is more than willing to take a shot.
Sure.
And certainly you want to get into the real shots. That's John Stinchcomb, the older guys, Carl Nix, Ja Ree, those guys have all made. I'll look it up, see what I can find from those guys, because they're more than willing to take a shot.
Speaking of Teron, Teron Armstead banged up with a pectoral injury. Jermon Bushrod, a guy you know well, you played with, won a Super Bowl with. Do you think that they kick Pete outside and make him play guard, or you think they're going to be fine with Bushrod at left tackle?
It'll be interesting. My instinct says that they're gonna leave Bushrod at tackle, mostly because they did that last week in Cincinnati. It's possible that with a week of practice, it's very hard. It's not easy to slide from guard to tackle in a game. The same way, it's very hard to go from right to left in any position in a game. So, obviously that was their plan going in, that Bushrod would fill in at either of those positions. I think Jermon is a good enough left tackle. I think he could play that position for us. But at the same time, if Andrus started at left tackle and they slid Jermon into guard, which is where he's played the last 4 or 5 years, maybe 4 years in Miami, that would make a lot of sense too. So I don't know yet, and I'll probably figure that out tomorrow, what exactly they're planning on doing. But I would start with my assumption that Jermon's going to start at left.
Is this the best – when they're whole, is this the best offensive line that you've seen with the Saints?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably not crazy close. I think, you think back to –
even that 09 and 11 offensive line?
So you take 9 and 11, and you go across the board. Listen, Carl Nix and Ja Ree obviously were tremendous. And Carl Nix, when he was healthy, might have been the best guard in football, and had an opportunity to become one of the best guards in history. Ja Ree Evans probably is one of the best guards in history. So both those guys are really good. But we've got Larry Warford is a Pro Bowl guard all day long. And I don't know that he's going to get in. Offensive line Pro Bowl voting is weird. It's unreliable at best. Larry Warford is going to be a perennial Pro Bowl type player. He's every bit that good. Andrus Pete in the last few weeks has played fantastic. And when he's at full strength.
Is he healthy? You think it's because he's healthy?
I think that's part of it early in the year. Listen, he missed all of training camp. There's all that stuff. There's no way that the tackles that me and Bushrod or Bushrod and John Stinchcomb were anywhere near as good as what Teron and Ryan Ramczyk are. And in this league, with the way you throw the ball, I just put more weight on those positions. Inside, Max, you take De La Puente or Jonathan Goodwin. I just think he's a more complete player than both of them were. So, and that's no knock on those guys because they're all really good football players, and those are really good lines. I don't think anybody touches this line when it's at full strength.
Can you quantify what scoring on 61% of your offensive possession, I mean, how difficult that is in the NFL?
It's incredible. So in 2011, we felt like we scored on every single drive. We were at 51%. That was the best that the Saints have ever been. The all-time NFL best is 57. That was the Patriots the year that they started the year
unbeaten,
18-0.
Yeah,
they lost the Super Bowl, right, in 19-0. Yeah, it's incredible. It's an insane number. It's the same way Drew's completion percentage is an insane number. It's just it's crazy to think that of all the people over time, no one ever came close to doing what this team is doing in a few different areas.
Zach Street, the voice of the Saints and former Saints right tackle here on the Players Show, live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. 30 minutes to go. Come on out and get a picture taken with number 64. Also get an autograph from Zach Street, Super Bowl champion. Don't want to leave that one out as well. This is the Players Show here on Saints Radio, WWL. Welcome back live here at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Saints Players Show. Zach Streif, former Saint, number 64. Current voice of the New Orleans Saints, getting his journey. And I'm surprised, you know, I should have texted John Stenchcombe, Zach.
Why? So you can ambush me on the air again?
I know. I've done it. That's the only reason why I didn't, because I've done it the last couple of times you've done stuff like this.
Yeah.
And by the way, I want to take a little shot at Jim Henderson. He's never done the Players Show.
Right. Where are you at, Jim? I wish Jim would come. I want to do a show with Jim. That make me feel, like, very official to get to do a show with Jim.
Be honest with me. How intimidating was it just because of what he was in this community as a 30-year play-by-play icon, and then you were stepping in his shoes? And also, talk about the relationship y'all have, though, him kind of helping you grow into this position.
Well, yeah, here's what's cool. Like, Jim was a huge part of why I even wanted to do it. I think if it's somebody that had been here for a few years or someone that kind of traveled around and did it, it would just kind of be like this role in the media to me. But as a player, I knew what an impact that role has on kind of your memories of, you know, your time here, like all these big moments.
I'm sure you've listened to The Pigs Have Flown and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
of course. Like, I mean, you know, I can recite all of, you know, Jim's major calls. I mean, I remember all of them. And, you know, and so his role here played a big part in me wanting to do it, because I knew what it could ultimately mean to, you know, to Saints fans and to the region, even, you know, with how big the Saints mm-hmm. really are down here. So that's, you know, a big reason why is that Jim was so good at it and he had such a reputation. It's also what makes it very hard. And I've said for a long time, I feel bad for whoever replaces Drew Brees. Like, the expectation level is just unattainable almost for anybody. And that whoever that person is going to get constantly compared, and it's like a losing proposition. Like, it's very – the chances of us finding someone that lives up to Drew Brees are slim to none. They mm-hmm. just are. Now, you might have a guy that's good or a guy that's average or a guy that's good enough to win, but he's not going to be Drew Brees. And this role is very similar. Like, hey – people tell me all the time I miss Jim. I'm like, yeah, I do too. Like, he was awesome. You know, Jim was great. And yet, you know, it was time for Jim to move on. And I think everybody's happy for Jim. I know he's spending a lot more time on a bass boat, and that's what he wants to be doing. He's gotten to travel a bunch. And he's been fantastic with me. Anytime I've reached out, he's been quick to return. We sat down during training camp, and he brought all of his old all the notes from 17, all of his flip charts, all of his research and stuff that he had used, and really helped me a lot as somebody that was extremely green going into it. Getting, you know, him passing down knowledge to me was invaluable. And, you know, Jim was great. He's the same in person as I would have thought he was, you know, from afar.
Yeah, you've brought the play-by-play charts into the digital age. I want to explain to the audience, or let you explain to the audience. So Jim Henderson had a literally just imagine an oversized index card, right?
17 by 11.
17 by 11 poster
called
card.
A tablet.
Yeah.
So tablet form.
No, but
tabloid.
I'm talking about what Jim used. He used a big poster board, and it would, you know, he had literally almost a circle with a box around it that had to. So what do your charts look like?
Well, yeah. So Jim's and Jim's were very common. I met with a lot of guys that used a very similar chart. It basically looks like a depth chart. Mm-hmm. Like, if you would look it up, you know, the old depth chart where it's like you can see where the players are. They're basically lined up in a formation, and he would fill in information about each of those guys. I'm using an iPad, and so basically I have a spreadsheet that all the information goes into. So the player's height, weight, where he went to school, how many years in he is, and then a section for notes, things that are interesting about the guy, and then a full stat bar after it. And what it allows me to do is I can copy and paste a lot of that from the internet. So there's websites that those charts coincide with. I can go, I can pull all the stats. And so it pulls all of it into this like front main sheet that does not look like a depth chart. It's actually columns sorted numerically and by position. And so it gives me, for me anyways, it gives me an opportunity to find people a little bit easier, certainly in the preseason when there's a lot of guys. I still don't understand how they do that in the preseason in those charts. And it also gives me, because I do call off of an iPad, it gives me the ability to build a lot of cool information next to it. So it would be very hard for a play-by-play guy to write down everything that I bring in, but it's obviously a little bit easier on a tablet, and I'm a little bit more comfortable with that. The way I do it is a little bit – it's a lot bit different than what Jim did, and pretty unique for the industry. So
how'd you get that that software?
I had a wonderful guy reach out to me very early on in the process. His name's Jerry Sandusky. I always feel bad even saying the name. It's spelled with a G. It's not the Jerry Sandusky that you're thinking of. He's the play-by-play guy in Baltimore. He's been a longtime broadcaster in Baltimore. Just a tremendous guy. Reached out to me, cold called me completely. Reached out to the Saints, said, hey, can I get Zach's information? I'd love to offer any assistance. Got on the phone with him one night, talked for 2.5 hours, and in that conversation I asked him about his flip chart, and he was like, well, let me send, you know, I'll send mine to you if you use Apple stuff, because it's on Numbers, it's an Apple program. And he sent it to me, and it was like so different, but it made a lot more sense to me personally. And Jerry has essentially handed it all to me. He sent me master copies. He would do go to meetings with me at night. He would jump on the computer with me and teach me how he was doing stuff, how he would pull in information, how he changed the way it looked. And wow. I mean, it's really – Jerry Sandusky has probably spent more time with me helping me with play-by-play than anybody on the planet, and he's been a tremendous resource for me.
You talked about the preseason. There are some guys, and this is – WWL might kill me for saying this, but there are some guys, the older gentlemen that are in this your profession of play-by-play, they usually have a preseason voice of the team that's a guy that's eager to go out there and call games, and then they have the regular season voice.
Guy that, like, refuses to do those games?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, listen, they're tough.
I bet they are.
They're tough. They're a different animal.
I bet they are. Zach Streif here. We'll break down Saints and Eagles next here on the Players Show on WWL. Welcome back. Players Show here at Hooters on Vets and Metairie, our home each and every Thursday for the Players Show. Zach Streif, as he put it earlier, it's now, for tonight, the former Saints Players Show.
That's right.
Voice of the Saints, Zach Streif, former right tackle. And Zach, last week it was so much about, oh, there's a possibility of a trap game. Well, the Saints kind of exonerated that pretty quickly.
Yes, they did.
This week against the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, you've been in that position where you go from the hunt, you know, you are now the hunted, and the Eagles are finding that out at 4-5. They're banged up. They're going to have a lot of pride. You got a lot of good players on that team. An opportunity to knock off a team that's the hottest in the NFL. Does that make you nervous in the sense that they're now backed in a corner, and teams in November that are dangerous, that recognize that their playoff lives hang in the balance in November potentially, does that bother you? Does that make you a little nervous about this game?
No, it did last week. There was a part of me last week that was a little bit nervous about that game just because of the possibility of it. Now, you look at that game last week, and you're like, there's no way that they can lose this game. And yet you get nervous, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's part of being a fan almost, is that, you know, you don't have control, like I said earlier. This game doesn't scare me at all. Listen, this is the defending Super Bowl champs. This is a team last year that thought they had a real opportunity to win the Super Bowl, and this is the team that ended up doing it. And that's not fun as a player. I mean, there's, trust me, plenty of motivation on the team to go and beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And I also think there's a realization, and one of the things that's great for Sean is he can go back and say, listen, you can get close, and it feels awful. It's worse than not even being close to it. So, you know, they have an opportunity here right now where they can still win the one seed, where they have every possibility of winning the one seed, and I think it's going to be imperative. I think if the Saints can get everybody to come back into the Superdome, I think the team knows – I think everyone in the NFL knows if that happens, no one is coming in and beating the Saints. And so there's a lot on the line for the Saints, too. It's not like there's nothing out there for them. They don't have a cushion. They don't have, you know, it's just they're not worried about the division. The division to them is almost a foregone conclusion. They're going to win the division. They're worried about that one seed. And with the Rams out there playing out like they are, you know, and with the schedule that they get to play later in the season compared to the Saints, they know that they're going to have to play their best football through the year. And I don't know. For me, it just doesn't scare me.
You've been a part of several really good teams in New Orleans. The 09 Super Bowl championship team, made the playoffs in 2010, 2011, 2013. That 2011 team, I know you guys have said it over and over. You felt like you guys left a Super Bowl on a field in San Francisco.
Yep.
Do you think this team, though, as a whole now, hear me out, is a overall better team than the 11 and 09 team? Because of how proficient this offense
is. One thing I can tell you, this team has very similar traits, and I'm talking more about mental makeup. The teams that win, the teams that go on runs, and I think the Eagles last year are a great example. I don't think the Eagles were the most talented team in football. I think that's a team that really believed that they were going to win the Super Bowl, and that goes a long way. And that type of confidence and swagger is something that you can't just say, you can't claim it, it doesn't work like that. It has to be kind of earned. And I think this team has earned it. I think this team is starting to feel that way. The 09 team had that in buckets. You know, you look at the 09 team, that defense, the amount of turnovers that defense caused. If this team was forcing as many turnovers as that team did, we'd be scoring 45 points a game. That's a real – I mean, because when you look at the offensive numbers in 09, that offense was really efficient, but it wasn't putting up points anywhere near the level that this one or the 11 team did. So, you know, it's hard when you get down to teams. I would like to give this more time, a few more games before you start making those comparisons to those teams. But talent-wise, I don't know that either one of those teams touches this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Overall depth, and in particular because of what we talked about earlier too, the offensive line, right? Well,
here's what's great about having a good offensive line, and it bothers me. I watch all these TV shows and where they talk about who's the best offense in football, and they'll go through, and right now, who's in it? It's the Saints, it's the Rams, it's the Chiefs, maybe the Steelers get thrown into that category, right? And they talk about the quarterbacks, they talk about the receivers, they talk about the running backs, and they talk about the tight ends, and it's over. That's the end of the conversation. What makes this Saints team offense the best in the NFL is the offensive line. The combination of the other pieces around it are what gets all of the credit. This team, you can't stop. Because they can run on you, and you can't get to their quarterback. And you have a quarterback that's, you know, his QB rating's 128 when he's not pressured. You're in a lot of trouble because no one can get to him. We've played the best lines in football. We've got more of them coming up here. We've already played the best lines in football, and nobody gets to him. And on top of that, we're going to run the football on you. It's impossible to stop. If the offensive line is good, you can't affect it. The fact that we have a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, the most productive receiver in football, and the best backfield, it makes it awfully difficult on people. So,
there it is. Zach Street, the voice of the Saints. We'll step away and come back and wrap this thing up live at Hooters on Vets in Metairie here on WWL. Zach Street as well, former Saints offensive tackle, current play-by-play man of the Saints, and looking ahead to Saints and Sunday, or Saints and Eagles on Sunday at 3:25. Zach, your final thoughts on ultimately, if Bobby and Deuce feel like Saints turn the ball over one or two times, then certainly the Eagles have a chance to win. But all things being equal, the Saints should walk away with a W Sunday.
Yeah, listen, turnovers are the great equalizers in the NFL. So you turn the ball over, you're going to open a door, give people an opportunity to do things they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And listen, this is a team that knows that they've got to make something happen here. I don't see it. I don't see this defense being able to make the plays they need to make on the back end. In order for them to win, the defensive line's got to play completely out of their minds. They have to be, you know, above and beyond what I think they're capable of right now. And I think the Saints win this one, you know, fairly easily.
They're favored by 8.5 to 9 points. And Saints, with the spread this year, I think they've covered in 7 straight. So it just goes to show you, those guys in Vegas kind of know what they're talking about. Zach, look, appreciate you coming out tonight. And obviously tomorrow, you and Deuce for the fans and the pro. What you got coming up tomorrow?
Well, we're going to get Jahri Evans on. We're going to talk to Jahri tomorrow, Philly guy. Tell some funny stories about when we used to go and play in Philly and Ja's family causing all kinds of ruckus up in the stands as big Saints fans, and talk to him about this game a little bit. We're going to do a little Pelicans talk, talk about them as they've kind of gotten back on track here the last few games, and I'm sure lots of stupid stuff that me and Deuce always talk about each week.
What time you have Jahri on? Yeah, you nailed that down yet?
Jahri is on at 6:20, or no, 5:20.
5:20. I will tune in for that.
Yeah, Jahri will be on at 5:20.
I loved interacting with Jahri. You know what? My only complaint with him is I'd interview him in the locker room, and he'd always have to clear his throat in the middle of, like, saying something. And I'm like, you just ruined a soundbite for me, Jahri. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm trying to do? I used to give him grief about it all the time. Now, one of the coolest things he did, Super Bowl 44, coming off the field, he knew. Jari's the kind of guy that he wanted to get to know people, right?
Right.
So he comes off the field. He hands me one of his gloves. He's like, here, give this to your kid.
Pretty neat.
It's pretty good. Pretty neat moment.
Pretty good. He's a good dude.
Zach Shreve, the voice of the Saints. Tune in tomorrow, 4 o'clock, for the Fans of the Pro. He and Deuce McAllister. One more hour to go here. Fantasy Frenzy up next here on Sports Talk on WWL.